This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, Karen. Just you and me, huh?
Hello.
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 How do I sound? Can you hear the moody blues in the background?
Chris, you're recording from the 70s today. That's cool.
Yeah. I just for the memories. No, my neighbor, well, he's not a neighbor. It's a abandoned house.
Oh.
And has been for the whole time I've lived here. It's just a haunted house from a movie.
On the east side? That's valuable property.
I'm telling you, I am across the street from me is Angelino Heights, the historic neighborhood that boasts the most Victorian homes and has hitching posts for old bankers to ride home and on their horses from downtown when it was this was a financial city, pre-Hollywood. I'm painting a picture.
You're doing the full tour.
And they'd come home and eat a boiled boot and be mean to their wife. But then...
Sponsored by Lee and Perrin.
And then on my street, it's old apartments that are kind of run down, which is why it was affordable. But next to me are two scary places. One of them is inhabited by a family. And then this one was empty. And then this guy just started working there at night, somehow found a power source, but he's working to make it livable. And I think he's just squatting and no one's ever asked him what he's doing.
I don't know, though. How's that possible when...
Because he's doing it all by himself and he has lights on at night, tarps. I think he's just reinforcing the foundation, replacing some of the wood, but it's slow work. And at night when I walk by, there's the unmistakable smell of crack being smoked. So there's no, I'm saying he doesn't have a boss.
Well, yeah, you know, his boss is crack.
Yeah.
He has a boss and it's a merciless and an unyielding boss.
A mind lord. Trying to get out early on your lease with that relationship.
The idea that somebody would be renovating a house from the foundation up on crack is if this guy achieves anything at all, we should go and throw him a party.
Crack doesn't give you your deposit back. What have I kept doing? I'm sorry. No, he does get, and I've started like forcefully saying like, how's it going? And he's like, pretty good. Starting to get some work done. Like he's there early in the morning too, with his shirt off with a wheelbarrow. But one night,
Wheelbarrow's empty because he's on crack.
And he's talking to an invisible animal inside. You're a big, cute little bear, aren't you? But one night, there was just a car back there pinned to the fence. On the other side of the fence is these folks that all live together, and they're like bodybuilder, personal trainer guys with money. So that house is nice. There's just these two scary haunted houses. But their car was pinned against their fence, and they were clearly drunk. And I'm like, what's going on? Do you guys need help? And they're like, our car is stuck. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can see that. Okay. And I just kept, it was none of my business, but they are right next door. And my point is, my long point is that he really likes the Moody Blues, and he plays it very loudly.
Is it? The only songs I can think of are Knights in White Satin.
You got your Knights in White Satin. You got your...
What's the other one? There's one other one.
Letters I've Written, Never Meaning to Send. You've got the... That's
You're
the
just
same
saying,
song.
It's more lyrics.
I, for a little while, was into the Moody Blues, but I can't think... It's been long enough to where I can't remember
any
of their songs right now.
I mean, look, Knights of White Satin is 7 minutes long and an epic tale of, I don't know, whatever it's about. So that does kind of like, you know, if you don't have a ton of hits, at least your one hit is this journey, you know.
Letters I've Written, Never Meaning to Send, 'cause I love you. Is that the one where it's, yes, I love
bringing the strings, full fucking orchestra. But you know what? It's good, like this, of two people a cappella singing it on a podcast.
Oh, God.
Imagine the real recording when you're on crack.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
God, just whistling along to an empty wheelbarrow. It's so funny that I can't, it's good that we can't remember any, but I just, my back starts to sweat because I know when people are relaxed listening to a podcast, that's all they're doing. It's hard to think of things while you're thinking of things.
Recording.
It's hard to do it
but
while
do you,
people are yelling Moody Blues songs
I challenge all of America to yell one other title.
There's someone in Germany right now, in German, screaming five different Moody Blues songs.
Speaking of which, have you seen that reporter that speaks six languages?
I was blown away. I watched it over and over. They were all spoken so casually. Was he just waiting for the day where it's like, this is an emergency. All the other affiliates have shut down. The Al Jazeera and all these countries have shut down. What are we going to do? He's like, well,
I'll do it.
I can speak all the languages. Does that help?
Can I step in? I also look like a doctor from the 60s. Would that be calming in this basically lead up to actual war?
I knew you were going to say you were sexually attracted to him.
Well, because, Chris, and don't act like I say that all the time, was handling terrible news. He created a distraction from what he was actually talking about himself,
and,
which is horrible news.
And he was a handsome guy, well put together, knew what he was doing, and he's working around the clock. Every other language, the sun was coming up or it was going down. The first one, sun's out. 12 languages later, the sun is down. He's just on to German now.
And also the accents, like, not that I would know the difference, except for I've just heard people speak those languages generally, and the accents and the like, you're right. There was a casual air of like confidence and geniusness, obviously, where I believe it's called being a polydact, when you can speak multiple languages, which means there's facets of your brain that are more open than the average person.
He did Spanish and then Portuguese. And because I had a Portuguese-speaking Spanish teacher in college, and I never knew the difference. But I have been presented with it on a daily basis one time half my life ago. And you can say, and forgot all of it. I'll remember. My zapatos are muy bonita. That means I have pretty shoes and I like to brag about it. But I could tell that, I mean, he had perfect accents between those two.
It was like, you knew that if he misspoke, because he was clearly on location, right? So he was just staring into a handheld camera, There's no teleprompter. He didn't.
Right.
He was by from memory reporting that news.
Even if there was, even if he did write it out, that you know that it
longhand.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was some. The point is, I've been on location and made do with an iPhone teleprompter. We all got our tricks in the business. I've done broadcast journalism. You know that about me.
Sure. Skateboard broadcast journalism.
Yeah, broadcast journalism. but if you haven't seen it, it's just type into your computer. News guy does six different languages.
It's not just the accent. That'd be funny if he was just doing it. Hey, oh, yeah, hey.
He put on a hat or a mustache. He really added flair to each character.
I am always really obsessed, though, with people, whether it's a man or a woman, that look like that, because truly he has the most low-key classic good looks.
Yeah.
Of a it's just like when a female reporter, if she just had like a little blonde bob and just kind of had like a Barbie face, we were like, what is it like to be like a catalog model your whole life? Not an editorial model, not a Vogue cover model, but like a catalog level model.
Yeah, that's a haircut they forced her to have. The news, it seems like, and I'm just saying this because I just watched The Morning Show, which is very good.
Oh, you liked it?
Oh, I loved it. Jennifer Aniston's like a super good actor. No one
she is.
Told us this. She's amazing in it. But it's clearly like, and my sister was in the news for a while and as a producer and just had the ugliest stories about basically men coming in and changing your story, not even telling you, changing what you wrote, telling you what to wear. It is like, it was a perfect industry for them to, because that show is about the Me Too moment that we had right before COVID. Like they go through both those real life situations. So you're watching it like, oh, this is 2-3 years ago. You're just watching. They don't really ever show the date. But yeah, everything in there, you know that they can't just have their hair be long and beautiful. Commercial acting is the same way. You gotta have catalog hair.
True. Although these days it feels like commercial acting, you can be a real oddball face and make just as much money as the pretty people.
Yeah. That's kind of what I like about commercials. That's why I go in there and cross my eyes. Well, I'm not kidding. That's why I grew this goddamn mustache. You know
just
that.
Just to set yourself apart?
And because the minute I grew it, I booked something and I kept booking things because I had this, you have a classic look. I'm like, yeah, I don't really prefer it for my real life, but man, that H&R Block money is pretty sweet.
Hell yes.
Whatever. But yeah, be nice to just look how you want and be glamorous. But I love on the news when they are covering a police chase. And so then they're locked into like, oh my God, I have to ad-lib for this whole, and everyone's glued to, everyone loves watching police chases.
It's one of the best parts of living in Los Angeles is people go on Twitter and be like, it's starting now. And then you run to your TV and it's a shared experience of, it's almost like watching a cop show that's real.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this on one episode long ago when I lived in Burbank. There was a police chase I watched one night that ended down the street from my house. It was like they came up the freeway. Do you remember this? And it ended up that they were driving down the alleys in Toluca Lake.
Oh, wow.
And they went and they tried to, with the police chopper overhead and the light on them, they tried to drive down an alley and go into a garage and the cops were everywhere. It was crazy. And it was like watching it. They came up the freeway and took an exit where I'm like, oh, that's right by here. Oh, I can hear the helicopter. Oh, there, and then I'm watching my neighborhood on TV.
Yeah. I did that with the triple Doppler coverage of tornadoes in Texas. One time it's coming up I-35 and I'm like, oh, that's coming my way. And I hid in my bathroom and nothing happened. But people, I think that's a weird part of police chases. People watch and they're like, oh, I hope the criminal drives by my house. Let's go out and wave to O.J. Simpson, family.
That does happen sometimes. Like I've seen it where people go out and they just kind of jump up and down and like cheer for the escapee.
Like they're in the background of a video game.
Yay!
Hooray! Hooray! Grand Theft Auto! That's why I have my pixelated flag. Yeah, or
I haven't seen a good police chase in a while.
Yeah, I just love that the news people.
Yeah, the anchor
has to like think of interesting things to say, and it's that subtle thing. Oh, he's blowing a red light here. No, I guess it turned green at the last minute, so that was a lawful. Well, there's really nothing to say. The cops are still behind him, and hopefully. Something happens to where there's a reason I'm talking. Like they just can't.
They sometimes do the thing where they go, if there's a little bit of a pause, they go, and again, this is a very, very dangerous situation. Please do not drive up. Please don't come out of your house. Please. Again, this is, and then they all have a reaction. If like they almost miss a car.
That was nothing. Like, that was a shadow. My
please,
bad.
This is dangerous. This is not entertainment. This is very dangerous.
That was, I spilled coffee on my laptop. I didn't want anyone to be alarmed. That had nothing to do with the, I'm just changing my baby's diaper. The chase is still in pursuit, but I just noticed what's in the diaper. So that was the exclamation I made.
Chris, look at the face that I just brought into my Zoom.
Oh, man. What kind of dog is that?
Look at her. Someone dropped her off at a night, overnight drop off.
Deposit box?
At a shelter.
Oh, no.
In the desert area. And
I was just in the desert area, and there's so many people that have little desert dogs. And
yeah.
It made me even more. I was hanging out with a blue heeler, and they're very smart. Like if you're in a, my friend had a blue heeler. He's gotten a little older now.
Sorry, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about my dog.
Oh, I know. I was going to say, after listing all the things I love about blue heelers, I'm like, but yet, those things pale in comparison to the dog you're holding currently.
To this mutt.
Yeah, is what I was going to say.
To this non-denominational, all dogs mixed into one dog.
Yeah. What church
animal.
Do you go to? Dog?
Hey.
You're non-denominational?
I'm Episcopalian.
Oh, good. I'm Methodist. We're allowed to talk.
Oh, cool. I'll see you at guitar mass later. Okay. Like I'm putting her mouth up by the microphone.
Well, you got it. People, they hear in your voice if you're really selling it.
Yeah, that's
guitar
right.
Guitar mass. Yeah, that dog clearly acts like, thank you for saving me, and keeps telling you, well, you're...
She gets a little stressy if she... Like she needs to, she goes from eating to peeing to going on a walk to coming back and being given a treat. So like if I sit in front of the computer for too long, she has to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because she just needs...
When's the next...
She needs to know it's all okay.
Yeah, yeah. She needs little stimulants, little rewards.
It's cute and irritating at the same time.
Yeah. When you got that dog, was she like malnourished or hairless or have a bad eye or anything?
they took care of her. So it's a rescue place called Blue Man Dog. Mm-hmm. And I thought she was old when I saw her picture. So I was like, oh, I'm going to adopt an old gal and give her a break. She's a year old. She just looks kind of old.
Yeah.
And a little janky, right?
That's but they, what I thought about.
They brought her. Yeah. They brought her to health.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's nothing wrong with her, but except for that she's a little shy.
Yeah.
And so you have to treat dogs like that. Like you have to kind of leave them alone when they're first adjusting, they can like figure out what the hell is going on. They don't get nervous.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, when I started feeding my old cat in front of my house, I thought the cat was 10 years old. A foggy, like cataract eye. a bare pink belly.
Oh.
Yeah. A distended belly. Little ear mites. Like if you zoom in, like it's like from a Ren and Stimpy cartoon. And then all they did is look at his teeth and they're like, oh, this cat's only two. I'm like,
oh.
And after a few cans of tuna, I went back to its normal working. Yeah.
For real? It was like his temporary cataract?
Here's the crazy thing about that cat. When there was many black and white cats in my neighborhood sharing the cat dish in front of the house, Tig and I would put one out there and then there'd be a cat and a possum and a cat and another pot. They just hung out with possums. No one told them. And they all had a foggy eye. They all had one bad eye. So I'm like, oh, they're all related. They all have a genetic eye thing. But my kitty's eye got better. And Nancy, it was Sid and Nancy. Nancy never really took to coming in the house. She was a wild one. And so she stayed outside with her bad eye. And she'd come say hi to Sidney, and he would just turn his back on her.
Because he was different now that he was in the big house.
He really is a perfect analogy for what happened to Venice Beach. He just became a rich Santa Monica boat person and turned his back on Dogtown, baby.
That's S-U-X sucks. Wait a second, though. But you took that cat, like you took him to the vet and got rid of everything and got him all ship shape.
And put him in a pillowcase. I looked online. They're like, if you
drown him?
That was the first plan. I filled a barrel with molasses. I was just going to dip that cat in and seal the lid. But then I had second thoughts and I looked online. They said with a cat, a younger cat, or it just said any cat, put him in a pillowcase and they will kind of act like they're in the mother's womb or something. Who knows the accreditation of whoever typed that out and put it on the internet. Because the other, when I put the cat in there, I just thought it'd be like Heathcliff, like trying to punch holes in it and scratch
just
me.
Just a little ball tornado with stars and hashtags coming out.
Yeah, he just kind of stood still in there and meowed. And I brought the cat in a pillowcase to the vet. And that it was only then that I realized I had done something strange because they were like, why? Why is your cat in a pillowcase? Like, I found a website.
But that's how you found out that anyone can make a website if they have like $19.99 and a GoDaddy account.
Yeah, so yeah. This was,
you can't just be believing the first thing that comes
up. No, this was GoDaddy. This is before we all knew about the fake news, Karen.
Fake news. I actually, with our old cat, I made a box. Like, I never thought to buy a crate for the cat, even though obviously you have to take animals to the vet.
Yeah.
So you might as well invest because you're going to use it at least, you know, 10 or 15 times.
Sure.
I punched holes, like, you know, pretty big holes in a box put the cat inside, shut it. And that cat, first of all, tried to shove his whole head out. It was Angus. Tried to shove his whole head out through a tiny penny-sized hole. Like, he was just trying to shove his head out as hard as he could. And then in the car, in that box, he was meowing, but it sounded like the word why. So he'd go, why? Why? And I could not stop laughing because it was just, he was just like, what are you doing to me?
Why a box?
Why?
Why not a store-bought carrier?
Why am I not good enough?
At the pet store, when I had to fly with my cat, of course I didn't want to, because I forgot about those cardboard carriers, but my cat was pretty strong and had been through some shit and I could see easily tearing through any box. So I got the top of the line, like it had a warranty, you know, it was like an $80 suitcase for cats, but the mesh, it had a lot of night. And within 10 minutes on that flight, and I sedated the cat. That's how I found out the cat had feline AIDS, which they didn't brace me for at all. They just said AIDS, and I freaked out. But anyway, as we were flying, the cat was being crazy and panting and ate through that mesh and, like you said, found the smallest hole in the mesh and was just birthing his face out of there. Like, his eyes were pulled back, and there was nothing I could do. I'm like, well, at this point, I'm just unzipping it because you're going to hurt yourself or get strangled in the mesh. So I unzipped it while we're flying. And I've probably told this story before, but the cat...
You 1,000 times have.
I know. But we came to it so organically.
No, we did. This is the most natural version of this story.
Yes, and this is me actually visually reliving it. That leads up to the point. I never quite explained in the past 12 times I've told it why I opened the carrier. I thought my kitty was going to choke on the mesh hole. So there you go. And if you want to hear the rest of that story, listen to our back catalog.
Also, I'm positive I've told the Angus in the Box yelling why story.
No.
So no judgments.
You are telling stories to the same person who forgets all the stories he's told. So
yeah,
there have also been times where I'm retelling the same story to you, one from 7 years ago, and I see in your face, although you just did it, I misread. It seems like you're hearing it for the first time. So I just keep going.
Chris, that's because I've studied as an actress.
Right.
And I have dedicated myself as a live performer,
yeah, Juilliard,
in a way where I say, what I'm saying in my head mm-hmm. is my job right now is to as to be a listener
right.
and to say, what's good about this story that you've never heard before?
Right.
What? How can you dig into this? And I'm telling you, the mesh detail
yeah.
was my entry point.
That's
here.
That's just good improv. That's that
you got to hook in.
Yeah, we were born with that. Take that, Emerson College.
We are it's yeah. natural. Yes,
yeah.
maybe we do negate. Yes, maybe we do not heighten, and instead we
right.
get smaller.
We often deny each other's ideas or requests.
I will know
the fuck out of you. No, but you've said this before.
No, but I've heard the scorpion story in the boot already. It's what we do. It's the glory of having your own podcast. You can, it's your right to tell the same story over and over if it's your podcast.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Because what lunatic out there has just listened to all of them? The chances are of whoever's listening and remembers that story, it won't be fresh. And they will not have just listened to that one episode from 5 years ago. Well, it's been years since I talked
cut to somebody behind the wheel with a single tear rolling down their cheek.
Yeah.
They're like, I
he called
exist.
Me a lunatic.
I'm not a lunatic. I just listened to this.
It's on shuffle.
I can't control the stupid content you guys put out.
She turns out she doesn't enjoy it.
She just was forced. What if it's someone's like fucking job to listen to this podcast and they hate it? Cut to Casey, our producer.
Crying, single tear.
Single tear.
it's great. Well, you got to catch
wonderful.
Up. Got to keep listening, Casey. You got a lot of episodes back there.
Casey, you're going to hear these stories so many
versions of the Cat AIDS. But again, to defend myself, that story commonly goes down the AIDS Avenue. And I took a left turn on Mesh Boulevard.
That's right, because we had to build a cul-de-sac on AIDS Avenue.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I might have to kick these dogs out, because here's a new thing. So I got some toys for this, for Blossom, the new dog. But Frank, who has never cared about toys, suddenly I busted out... these of just kind of standard, they're basically like rubber tennis balls type of balls.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, Frank, that's his obsession and he won't leave it alone and he carries it around. Did I tell you this already? Where he walked
no.
out. Sometimes they bark. If the pool filter goes on, it makes noise. So he has to go bark at it at 7:30 in the morning. But this one morning he walked out with the ball in his mouth. So he was barking, but he was muting himself basically. So he was like, ah, 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 because he wouldn't drop this ball. And it's like the puppy is now reinvigorated his love of toys.
Yeah, that's
great.
She's
like, all she wants to do is for him to do like tug of war on some toy, and
yeah.
he literally won't. He just stares at her. It's really cute.
That's so funny, because he has to be like, oh, I used to be just like you not long ago. Look, just while we were talking, I made a little butcher knife for my next kitchen.
Oh,
well,
tiny.
It looks all... It's because the foil is weird. Maybe it's not.
No, it looks like a knife.
Yeah, a little tiny knife.
Tiny.
Yeah, I just watched Halloween, so I stab a little screaming actress with it. God, what a terrible movie. It stressed me out. But I'm going to work.
Oh, it's so scary.
Is it though? I don't like Scream. I don't like Halloween. I don't like the just
Why'd
like,
you watch it then?
I don't know, because I had I thought that my favorite person ever...
Jamie
Lee Curtis was going to be in it, and it was I was watching the Rob Zombie version.
Oh no! Are you crazy?
Yeah, that desert rocker can't make a movie to save his ass. And it was very gory and just gratuitous. Like I don't know. It's just killing. I don't like it. Anyway, I'm this knife. I'm gonna make. I actually ordered. I'm gonna make a little house and do the little skate park outside with little bags of cement and cinder blocks and stuff. I ordered the tiny construction stuff, so I'm very excited. Just to reassure everyone, I know it seemed like a fleeting thing, my love of miniatures, but I'm gonna be back into it.
Yeah, I would argue. I'm gonna speak up. Sorry, there's a little background noise with Blossom trying really hard to get Frank to do a tug of war with her, and she won't leave it alone.
Well, it's
and
okay.
Also have a lot of paper on the ground, but.
That's normal noise, though. It's not Moody Blues.
It's not.
It's fine.
Although both dogs are on crack. but
early to bed,
I was going
to
say, that on behalf of the listener, I think it's my right to say nobody would ever believe that your love of miniatures is insincere or a fleeting thing.
I think that a lot of people have been questioning my practice and that. It's like, you made one bookstore and now you think you can talk about miniatures all the time. You're a poser and a fraud, they'll say.
Chris, have you been spending a lot of time on social media? This is, this sounds like Instagram.
I know. I'll even talk to people that someone drunkenly said, you talk down to people on the podcast. Do you ever do any research? I interact with those people. I'm like, oh no, I'm sorry. This is my first hate mail. And then she was like, it's okay. I was drunk. I listened to it a lot. And I'm like,
first of all, whoever that person is, and if you're listening now, what the fuck's wrong with you?
She called me a twat.
What?
She said, you're a twat. And then I said, hey, what's this? And she's like, I was drunk. And I'm like, uh-oh.
So that was kind of flirting. That's a little
I don't know. I think it was just strangeness.
What I was going to say is that seems like a borrowed criticism because what the hell are you supposed to research on this stupid fucking show?
Seriously,
we couldn't be more random conversational. Or we're talking about stand-up comedy, which we've both done like 30 plus years of research on.
There's been a handful of times and it had to be in reference to one of the times we'll have a guest on and we just get, and your thing is called this or whatever. Like a lot of times we're pretty loose with that approach, or I am. But other times we nail it, you know, I feel like with a guest, like knowing a little bit and that turns into a fun conversation. So whatever. It's not an exact science.
It's not a science at all. It's just a conversation that gets recorded.
I know.
There's no science involved.
I promise you, I've only gotten one message like that. It's usually the sweetest.
You're people. A twat.
I know. I was like, well she must be from England. It just seems like an English thing to say. You're a twat. I'm good at accents.
It really doesn't make sense.
No, it was.
But I do love the at least there is a little bit of accountability that she said I'm drunk.
That's
funny.
It was an old message that I was like, I've never found this folder. But I do like I do read messages and I do like saying thank you. And
are your DMs open?
Sure. Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah. No, so far, no weirdos. That's how I know. Well, no weirdos have ever come to shows because they know secretly that I got a dark side and no one wants to mess with me, I think.
Right. They know your little knives. They know what you're up to.
Yeah. Not 5 minutes ago, I was talking about my obsession with stabbings. So don't be coming up to me after a show with your drunken twat talk.
Don't you dare.
It's a fine line. And once you cross it, it's karate time, baby.
Do your research. You're talking down to people. It's like, wait, are you sure you're listening to the right podcast?
Yeah. Are you trying to listen to The Daily or something?
Yeah. Do your research.
But this house, I'm going to dedicate a whole shelf to it. There's going to be a skate park, a little kids' room. A sweet fan said, I'll make a guitar for it. So the kid will have an electric
guitar.
Same
person who called you a twat?
Nope. I'm just one of the many, many sweet fans. You got to get on Instagram, Karen. You could have all virtual relationships.
Never.
But here's
absolutely
the thing.
Not.
Once they show, these are real people. It's not, a lot of people hide and they're like, that person really likes this. It's legitimate. It's like a real friendship or something. Once they show up to a show and I know the person's name because I've interacted with them for 2 years.
Yes.
It's really neat. It is like pen pals or whatever, except you're meeting dozens at a time and it's a lot. And so it doesn't last too long. It's like, hey, great to meet you. And it's fun to remember certain things. You're the one that does this for a living.
Yep.
It's fun. It's been a good memory thing, too. It's like my Sudoku.
Well, and I do that sometimes to people because I do recognize people, especially when I was on social media much, much more kind of addicted to it. And I did remember seeing people over and over, people saying, I love this. This is the greatest or whatever. So that if they came around the corner for our meet and greets, because also that it would make sense. Those are the people that then are like, oh, no, I want to actually, I'll pay money
to meet
them.
That's 80% who you're meeting is those
and then
people.
I've done that to a couple. It's usually women. They come around the corner and I go, I know you from Twitter. And they go, what? And they totally freak out. Or it's like, because you're talking to me, the iMac, that's actually me on there. I know it's
right,
you.
Right. Sometimes people think that someone is answering on our behalf or something. Like, I thought you had an assistant pretend to answer.
Busy. Right. Although there are people that have me, that there are accounts on Instagram that are, it says my name, but it isn't. I'm not on Instagram. So anybody who has my name on Instagram is a fucking fraud.
Well, you got to look for that little check mark. Yeah, there's a Karen like fan site that sometimes,
God bless them.
It's fun. But this is the most important interaction. The one-way listening kind.
The one where you have to DM your criticisms later, you twats.
What a fun word.
I have to say, it's a really fun word because normally I don't like that word. That word makes me very reactive. But in this scenario where it's just a drunk girl, it's like, you're kind of sinny. Calling a man a twat is fucking
hilarious.
Exactly. It's genius.
Yeah.
It's genius.
And I'm pretty sure she's in England. So it with the accent, call me whatever you want. Some of the words are great.
For real. and which brings us back to that reporter that spoke six languages.
Yeah. He could have been dropping with some of those languages, just dropping the C-bomb. Boy, not that long ago, I said the C-word a couple times jokingly, and you laughed, and it was, but I was doing a character of some kind, and I said it twice. I just want to apologize.
Were you playing a character on our podcast to say that?
Yeah, you and I were doing two-man improv. No, I don't know. I was riffing and I said it. And then I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that. So I'm like, here it comes again. And I yelled it. And then my Brian, the guy that's been helping me, my friend, he's my booker. He said, I listened to an episode. You said the C word twice. I'm like, oh yeah, I do now quite vividly remember that. Sorry. He just was surprised because I didn't seem like a C dropper.
No, you don't seem like a C dropper. That word does make me laugh, especially when British people say it. Because in England, it's not a big deal. And I love that cultural difference of like, because I think I may have told you this, but there's an equivalent in Irish, which is the word fanny.
Fanny, yeah.
A very, very dirty word. And we were in Ireland and I was with Flanagan from Largo.
Yeah.
And I said it and I was using it, you know, the American way. And I was like, something fanny. He goes, you can't say that.
Are you sure? I don't believe that you were using the American. I sat right on my fanny.
But I said it. Full voice, and he was literally like ducking down, going, stop saying it. It was so hilarious to me.
Oh, so it's worse than the C word.
It's worse than the C word over there. And it's like—
I've heard that.
It's such a juvenile, it's like a word for little kids in America.
Yeah.
And it's like you're in Ireland, it's literally you're talking about female genitalia.
And where it's like you get a spanking on the fanny. Boy, imagine if you said that in Ireland.
This is now a Rated X podcast
in
Ireland, in the UK.
80s Midwest mom spanking your fanny.
No, stop talking about it.
Oh, right.
Your booker's going to lose his mind.
Really? Wow. Well, it's just, isn't that funny? Where we come from, it's a childish word for a butt.
Yeah.
Not even the butt, not even the genitals of the butt, just the meaty roundness of the cheeks.
Stop. The gen.
Yeah, no, I just want to make sure people have this clear. Specifically on a child.
No.
Of a child.
This is all out. We're out. We started being out when I started talking about Ireland, and we're out through this.
I won't say the word. I'll just replace it with funny. Funny is basically saying bottom here.
Correct.
Where we live. You get a spanking on your funny bottom. And I'm sorry if where you live, it's a word that'll send you straight to hell.
It's filled, or jail. This has become a serious, the government's going to have to investigate
well,
this podcast.
Well, I mean,
now.
There's a so lot of examples. They also call a trunk a bonnet on a car. And the hood.
The trunk is a boot.
The trunk is a boot, and the hood is a bonnet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's the lift is an elevator.
Yeah. I take offense to that. As an Amish milkmaid? How dare you?
How dare you
disgrace my hat of
walk
choice?
Walk into this barn raising and tell me my boot is a bonnet? This is probably the best podcast episode we've ever recorded.
I'm going to say in all seriousness, the people that like us are liking this the most because it's you and us, old school riffing. We don't need no car.
No fucking way, man.
Yeah, we've been swearing. We've been telling it like it is. We've been retelling old stories.
Yeah, this is Dinar at its finest essence.
Yeah, we don't need a car. We will be back in the car. We talked about that today at a meeting, but we don't know when. It's just, you got to hang on. It's something to look forward to.
It's like a buildup to the future thing. It's going to happen soon, but when? You don't know.
Karen's right. It's like a buildup to the future thing.
Get ready.
Get ready. The thing is out there and it's in the future, building up to it. That's fun.
Are you worried about the Queen at all?
Have you heard about Mary Kay lately? I thought you were going to try.
Have you heard of Jaffra products?
I haven't. But I did see on Twitter someone was saying disgraceful thing about the Queen, someone not at all connected to the Queen. So I'm like, whatever. I didn't dive into that wormhole.
There was a rumor that she died, and then people were confirming that that was actually just a rumor. Then people were saying, well, too late. I already think she died or something because she has COVID.
Oh, got you. And I'm dumb.
I'm talking about Queen Elizabeth.
I was literally, and I think you know it, you can tell by looking into my blank eyes, thinking of Princess Diana. And I'm like they're going to fake those graphic photos I accidentally saw that fateful night in the tunnel.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah, it was the worst. And I remember so many people being really upset. She was beloved. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that much about the Queen. I don't know.
You should watch The Crown. It's actually really good.
I loved The Great.
Okay.
Same people.
No.
It is.
No.
The Crown and The Great are the same story-making groups.
Oh, I thought you meant same country. It's like you're simply...
Oh, no,
incorrect.
No.
And
no,
you're
that
being
was
condescending
weird...
and you're a twat.
No, I am a twat, you know? take it right, you know? Fanny. Oh, I did it again. Oh, nuts. Sorry if you're from the specific place that hates that word. No, that's what was interesting about The Great is it was just English, but they were all in Russia. It's just like, let's not make everyone do Russian accents. We'll just be English.
No, that would be odd. Yeah. God, that show is good. I've talked ad nauseum about how much I love that.
That Elle Fanning.
So good. She's such a great actress. And those Fanning gals who grew up in front of the camera are so talented. Those Fanning gals.
Everyone loves a Fanning gal. Hey,
man and cow.
By the way, have you voted? I paid my SAG dues, so they sent me 50 DVDs, and one of them is, there's a thing that I have to fill out, and Elle Fanning's on it. I'm going to vote Best Actress in a Comedy Series.
You Elle should. Fanning. She deserves it.
She does. She's great.
Because she's doing everything, plus wearing a gigantic heavy wig that's also hot, and a gigantic outfit.
Yeah.
She's doing all of that in that gigantic dress.
And a painful corset. They hurt your ribs.
That's right. Women really suffer for boutique television.
What is
Let's
it
never
called?
Forget.
And they used to have an ad for it on Wendy's Tabletops, you know, those old-timey ad. It's a cushion. It's a spring that hides under your dress.
it's called a bustle.
What is it?
Oh, the thing that you sit on?
Yeah, it's a seat, but it's your butt.
Yeah.
It's like new spring-loaded bloomers.
Well, the bustle was the thing
bustle.
That used to tie to the top of your butt. So if you had a flat butt, your dress would still stick out.
But it was made of spring, right?
Not normally, but I'm sure that those tabletops and the old-fashioned advertising that was lacquered onto them, because I have the same memory.
Yeah.
It was all that stuff where it's like, snake oil, that'll cure your ills or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, here's a bustle that you can also use as a seat. It wouldn't be, I'm sure it wasn't like, and look, I haven't done my research,
right.
So I'm really being a twat about this, but...
yes.
But I bet you that was like a fad or a thing they tried to sell that people would be like, no woman's going to tie a spring around her waist and be like, this is great all day long.
I don't know. I love those old. And by the way, anytime we're about to say something where we're not sure if we're right or not, let's have this word twat continue to come up. I think it's so specific. I don't really know what I'm saying here. So at the risk of being a twat,
I didn't do my research and I'm being a little, I need to be a little condescending because it's my personality. So guess what? It's twat time.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't go to the library and read through some microfiche. but yeah, I love those old timey ads. I try to draw like that all the time. Like, are you unable to walk? Drink this and you'll be tap dancing.
Right.
Or the old ones, babies love the soothing, it soothes their teeth to drink 7-Up. Like, I've
with
literally
cocaine
seen
in it.
Ads, yes,
yeah.
It was Coca-Cola because there was actual cocaine in it. They put rowdy
That's
powder
right.
in that shit.
A nice pick-me-up in the afternoon if you're going to have your bustle with your spring in it and you sit down.
You know how babies in the afternoons need naps? Give them a little cocaine.
A little cocaine.
Baby's ready for grandma to visit, at the very least.
I do like, because there was no legal limit to what kind of fake medicine people could sell back then.
There was
and
no
so
FDA.
Those, right. There was
then.
No any oversight. And they used to have, and this is talk about not researched. I'm just kind of blabbing now. But there were the medicine shows where they would drive around and they would land outside your town,
right.
Like say pioneer days. And then they'd be like, this was the thing. It cures cancer. It cures, dermatitis. It cures everything here, whatever. And it's just a big thing of like olive oil with, something bad.
Right.
In it.
I remember that in so many like Disney show when my parents would drop me off at the movies and there'd be a double feature of some Puff the Magic Dragon. Did that have elixir salesman in it? I always thought that was a interesting
Pete's
job.
Dragon, maybe?
Pete's Dragon, not Puff
Pete's
the Magic.
Dragon.
That's hard to keep. There was two dragons I had to keep straight as a kid.
In the 70s, there were two major dragons.
Yeah,
you had to pick a side. You had to pick your fucking dragon.
I was a Pete's Dragon guy. I don't need that nauseating song.
Pete's Dragon is the first movie I saw in the theater. I have very dim memories of it, but I just remember the screen being gigantic.
Yep.
Looking at my parents like, guys, this was a great plan. Like, I was so into it. And Pete's Dragon was the one that was live action and a cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mind blow.
Thought that Cool World invented that.
No
well, step
way,
aside, Brad Pitt.
Get
There's
out of
a new
here.
Dragon from Hana Lee.
That's Puff, the magic dragon.
Right. They're
Do
both from the same dragon land, Hana Lee. A town called Hana Lee. But yeah, I vividly remember that, and the just the idea of going from town to town and tricking people into buying your snake oil. It's so funny. But actual advertising used to say things like cigarettes. These cigarettes are healthy. They make you live longer. I don't know. Screw it. Let's say it like in Mad Men era dudes.
Yeah.
Just lying. Oh, man.
All kinds of. Well, also, yeah, like cigarette ads used to have doctors in them that would be like, if you're going to smoke, try Carlton, you know, whatever.
Right. Oh, I definitely recall one that said, it's the kind I use. And it's a doctor. It's like, well, if the doctor uses it, smokes.
Also, we just, so my dad was in town. And so we
What'd you do?
Mostly just sat around and watched what I called the movie festival, like a film festival. So we started watching all movies with Dennis Farina in them. So we watched Get Shorty one night. We watched Out of Sight another night.
Oh my God.
And we watched...
Out of Sight. Oh, it's so good.
It's such a good movie.
Great.
But then we started off, we kicked it off, and this was like, well, the first one was Heaven Can Wait, which someone on our Exactly Right staff meeting had recommended. And it is a great movie. It holds up perfectly. It's a Buck Henry movie.
I love it. Yeah,
it's Buck such Henry. A good movie. But then we went from there to Midnight Run, Robert De Niro, Charles Grodin.
Oh, yeah, it's
if
great.
You've never, it is the perfect dad movie.
The one acting class I took in Austin, I had to do several scenes from that movie with Eddie Gosling.
From Midnight Run?
Yeah, and it was so fun.
It's so, it's such a
that.
Good movie. It's
Tootsie.
Written so well.
Yeah.
But the my point was, is that in the movie Midnight Run, and a lot of those movies, but especially in Midnight Run, there's so much smoking. People are constantly smoking, constantly lighting up and throwing the cigarette over their shoulder after two puffs, constantly taking cigarettes from each other. And it was the 80s. It wasn't like it was the 50s or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, people smoked like chimneys right up until 1995 when they passed that law.
Right. And I think it was also, it's with acting, it's a thing that you can do. Like a multitasking, I've acted a little, but sometimes I'll just do a thing that isn't part of it, like scratch my elbow or do something so you're not fully focused
normal.
On what. Yeah, so it just you're doing a human thing. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's it's easier to read a line if you're also making a sandwich. You know,
right?
What I mean? Yeah.
Because. The truth of it is, people don't listen to each other by sitting there stock still staring at you. It's like you're always doing something else. You're rarely actually focused when someone's talking to you and you're talking back.
Next time I go on one of these cat food commercials or something, I'm just going to light up. I got to start nailing it.
You got to
get my health insurance. Oh, that's ironic.
I would light up and then I would start zipping and unzipping your sweatshirt over and over, almost like you're like you're playing it. And then you're just like, this is what real people do. This is, it's called fidgeting. It's real.
I do fidget. Oh, I hope that's okay.
Well, it's real.
Yeah. My dad would have loved to have gone to your film festival.
It was four dads.
You just mentioned, you just did a Dennis Farina film festival.
Yeah.
My dad might be the only person on his street that would buy tickets to that. He loves Dennis Farina.
Dennis Farina is, and here's the thing, you get to see this range because in Get Shorty, he's the biggest asshole ever. My dad was crying laughing. You know, by the end of Get Shorty, his nose is broken, like insane. And then he shows up in Out of Sight and he's just like the chill
dad,
J-Lo's dad.
Yeah.
And he's real calm. And then, and he's also a big asshole in... Midnight Run as well.
Yeah.
He's just, he can do it all.
Yeah,
every kind of jerk.
I always expected him to be killing a lot of people in something. He looked like a scary guy. So I really did appreciate him in Out of Sight. If you haven't seen Out of Sight, it's a J-Lo joint. And man, she's good.
She really, it is the most romantic movie. I truly believe.
One of our first 10 episodes, we talked about them dressing, undressing across the room from each other.
Oh.
The tension.
Oh.
The Clooney,
Clunes.
J-Lo tension. Woo.
As our friend Chip Pope calls him, the Clunes. Because did you ever see the movie The Descendants, that Hawaii movie where George Clooney's wife is in an accident and she's in a coma and he has to like hold the family together?
No, I have not.
It's actually a great movie. I believe it's Alexander Payne. I could be wrong, but I think it is. And at one point, George Clooney, spoiler alert, finds out that his wife was having an affair with Matthew Lillard. And Chip Pope's review of this movie was, in what world would you pick Lillard over the Clunes? Never gonna happen. And the way he said it so casually, and it made me like cry laughing, because it's, you're so right. Like, I can't believe a movie where we're supposed to be pretending this man over here is not hands down devastatingly more handsome and appealing than his everyone on this whole island.
Yeah.
You can't put George Clooney in a movie and try to everyman him. You can't do it to him.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Stand him next to the guy that messed up Shaggy. And I'm only saying that because I would have been so much better. Like, hey, Scooby-Doo. He didn't even try and do the voice. He didn't even try. He's like, so grow a goatee and just show up? Get out of here, Lillard.
No, for real?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't like his Scooby-Doo, his Shaggy.
Did anybody else? Wait, who played? Oh, yeah, that's the
Did
one.
Did anyone else
Prince
wrong
Jr.
me from the Scooby-Doo movie? Why, yes, I'm glad you asked.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was Fred, and he's not a natural blonde.
Yeah, what's
he do?
Fred's supposed to be 6'4 and beefy.
Yeah.
Fred's on the husky side, and he's 6'. He might be 6'6. He barely can get in the van.
But the circumference of his chest is 52 inches, and his waist is a petite 28 inches.
Yeah, yeah. He has to get special tailored white sweaters. Might as well get them monogrammed.
Special neckerchiefs.
Oh, yeah, neckerchiefs. He wore chiefs.
So 70s. God, so 70s.
Yeah, we've covered our entire childhoods here.
Yeah, we've kind of done it. And look, we're right on the 1 hour mark, hey, Chris. We nailed this shit.
I knew that it was time to look in a few seconds.
Do you have any other topic that you want to cover on this, one of our greatest and filthiest episodes ever?
I do believe that this comes out because I asked last time. I am going to be in San Francisco.
California?
California, the Bay Area. You might be familiar with growing up very close to this city.
What club?
It's called Cheaper Than Therapy. So just go to my website. I can't remember the address, but it is 4 nights, 17th to the 20th.
What area of San Francisco?
It's right in the mix of it, right in the thick of it. Right. You can go outside and get a Mission burrito. And so maybe it's the Mission District. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But yeah, I think it might be. But it's called Cheaper Than Therapy, and it'll be on my website. That's all.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. I think this,
you're headlining, or is it like a five-person show, or is it like,
it's just,
what's the deal?
Me and hopefully some local funny Bay Area comics. I actually will call John, the nice guy that books it, and see what, but I've done it a few times and it's great.
Room?
Yeah, I loved it. At last time, there was no microphone and that made me nervous at first, but then it felt like I was stage performing. I've talked about this before too, but that was the show where I had to learn to like gesticulate and use my diaphragm and be theatery during stand-up. And I walked away feeling like I was better at stand-up because I wasn't just hiding behind a microphone like I'm back to doing. But they now have a microphone and a hell of a sound system. Cheaper Than Therapy.
San Francisco, California.
March 17th to 20th.
You know, people in San Francisco are really comedically discerning. At least they were 49 years ago when I lived there.
Yeah.
That's where all the great people who were really like, I want to be good at stand-up comedy. And I feel like that has not changed. The young people coming up that are there, they're discerning, they're passionate, they're into it.
Yeah.
And so if you live in the Bay Area, go see Chris Fairbanks, because you're not just going to see a comic who is a master headliner and one of the funniest live performers there is, but you're going to see people open for him that are great and either up and comers or like great on their own as is.
Last time I met a bunch of great comics that I had never heard of, and it's a different scene than hanging out at the Punchline or
Cobb's. Oh, yeah.
It was like kind of a underground type scene and I can do whatever I want. There.
It's the greatest. That's very cool.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. And then I'm in West Bend near Milwaukee in April. That's all I got. That's it.
That's too far out.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
That's one plug too far.
San Francisco only.
Here's my plug. I'm definitely going to wash my hair tomorrow. And that is my promise to you, Chris, you, Casey, and all of America.
There's a lot of pressure to wash our hairs or at least shampoo it too much. Just get it wet and put some conditioner in.
No, I can't. My hair's too greasy. It'll go all crazy.
See, I'm a dry scalp boy. I don't get oily. I don't get even combination, just dry and flaky.
Is it dry as a bone?
Oh, God. It's just like the desert.
Hmm.
I looked, the last time I was combing my hair, I saw tumbleweed roll by on it.
Oh, no. And then a little cow skull?
A little tiny one over a little dollhouse cow skull. God, we love miniatures on this program.
We support miniatures. If you haven't seen the PBS series, The Miniaturist, mm-hmm. it's so good. It takes place in somewhere in, might be Lapland, might be Norway. Did you watch The Miniaturist,
Jesus,
that series, Chris?
No. Just switch bodies? What am I, Fred Savage and you're Judge Reinhold?
Kind of.
Freaky Friday.
This is my recommendation to you. If you have access to the PBS streaming, because they have good shit on there. And one of the series is called The Miniaturist. And it's Anna Taylor-Joy, who you know from The Queen's Gambit, the chess Netflix series.
It's so good.
She's great. Wow. She was also an Emma. And this is one of her first things. And she plays this girl. Well, you just have to see it.
Oh, my
it's
God.
Like 14 or 1500s
right
Flanders
now.
Or something. Some Scandinavian country, and I don't know them. Because I don't do research, because...
You're a twat?
I'm a twat.
I'll see if I have PBS. It's probably up in the smart channels next to arts and entertainment.
That's right.
I don't know if I had those, but I'm going to find
Honor
the
Society
miniaturist.
Only, I believe.
It's called The Miniaturist. Miniaturist.
It's called The Miniaturist, and miniatures are a part of the plot, it's very fascinating.
I loved it, because they kind of, in Hereditary, they blew it with the miniatures being part of the plot. It was just a side thing.
You know, I'm sure they had to cut some of the greater miniaturist scenes, because they had to replace them with an old lady being covered in coins and worshiping the devil.
Yeah.
So that was
a scary movie. I liked it, but in the end, they're like, surprise, it's just the devil. I'm like, wait, I thought Toni Collette was like dictating things with her miniature stuff.
I know, I know. We should look that up and see if there was some kind of a...
I did.
There was a directional change.
Yeah, because why'd she then make a tiny little decapitated head of her daughter when that just happened? It's like, uh-oh, parallels.
Right. Did she do it after?
Even
it
in the beginning, there's like a miniature room and they zoom in and it turns into the teenage boy's room. It's like, oh, it's all set up for this miniature world has something to do with this evil spirit world.
But maybe that's what they meant. And it was that she somehow had something to do with the fact that the girl was beheaded.
Maybe, because mm-hmm. she got real weird in the end, especially when she sawed her own head off. Okay, spoiler
especially
city.
Especially when she...
Sorry, everyone.
Spoiler town, when she crawled up the wall and was up on the ceiling.
Oh, that's scary just thinking about.
It's so...
Zip, 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 zip.
That movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch it right now.
Okay.
All right.
Well...
That was fun.
That was a great one.
Yep. We did it again.
High five.
Keep doing it. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN.
AR.
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Casey O'Brien. Mixed by Ryo Baum.
Theme song by Karen Kilgareth.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DynAR Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Listen, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.